It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 360. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Don't forget to visit the wiki, because that is where you can get links to all of the Mike Tech Show archives. The linky is mtswiki.com. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, and you can send me a friend request on Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. Jam-packed show that I'm going to get right into. First, I think it's very obvious, I am losing my voice. I almost 100% lost it yesterday, where I could not speak at all. So I'm actually doing better tonight because I am on new medications. And unfortunately, the medications make me drowsy and sleepy. The new ones that are working now. I'm going to plug through with this. But the throat is feeling better. It has just been raw and sore. I've been battling this now for a couple weeks, and we're now on the third, a different antibiotic here, trying to clear this infection up that my throat has. So the doctor and I, we're doing everything we can, except for talking, which certainly puts a strain on the vocal cords. Yesterday, I couldn't speak at all. And first, for any clients that are watching, thank you. I have canceled on so many clients. I have canceled yesterday, last night, today, and tomorrow. I've canceled everything for all my clients because of my throat and because of the way I feel. I have wonderful clients that are willing to put everything to next week, and that is great. So I was able to rest today. And anybody that's seeing me on air, it is a very, very difficult struggle for tonight. So I want to do is get into the content, but I have to say a big thank you to everyone that attended the Mike Tech Show meetup. Al, who's Uncle Al in the chat, Byer Brown, Barbara, Citizen X, who just over the top went so far in coming up from Georgia by bus and then presented me with, anybody watching the video, the microphone flag that has Mike Tech Show on it. And as I turn it, you'll also see MTS 359 that shows show 359. And that was the meetup show. Backflow Joe, who is Joe, his son, his brilliant son, JR. Ron, for coming. Winston Wolf. My sons, I hope I didn't forget anybody. So just thank you all. It was a great time. And I want to tell you something that my son Ryan had a suggestion, which I think is brilliant. I took the main video that was recorded from the high def camera, the little portable high def camera, which had very good audio and video. I took the segment where I was being presented with the flag and I put it in front of the 2-hour show. So there's a 2-hour and 10 minute high def video, but it's 10.2 gigs in size. Tomorrow, I'm going to run that live on Ustream via Webcam Max. I am then going to have Webcam Max and Ustream, record it on Ustream. Since it's under 3 hours, it will be recorded. You will be able to have a very clean recorded copy of the high def video. So let's see how good Ustream comes up with recording the recording. So I am just going to set it and play it via Webcam Max. I will do that and tweet it for tomorrow night, and I will send that, and let's cross our fingers and hope that that works, and then we'll have a clean copy of the Mike Tech Show for show 359. I also have a lot of pictures, which I have to upload to somewheres and share them publicly. I'll put the link in the chat, and this way you will have access to the pictures. So now you're going to have the pictures, the video, and the audio. It should be great. Let's see how that works, okay? And I will set up a Flickr account, which I don't think I have. And I will, set up a Mike Tech Show Flickr account, and I'll upload the literally hundreds of photos that were taken with my camera, which is another technical story that we will get into. One last thing about the show. We got to show off. Everybody who attended received an official Mike Tech Show embroidered hat, which has MikeTechShow.com on the back. And you also got, everybody got a t-shirt. Now, I'm wearing the polo with the collar, which is embroidered. Those items will be available at the Mike Tech Show store. I have to bring that online. If I wasn't sick, that would have happened already. You're going to be able to buy the hats for $20. You're going to be able to buy the polo shirts, any size for $30. If extra large sizes, it will probably be $5 more. I have the t-shirts for $15, which is a great buy because I'm getting them at a really good price. And they're silk screened, Mike Tech Show, just like you can see that I'm wearing right now on Ustream. And you'll always be able to buy that via PayPal. And then even if you have a credit card and you don't want to use PayPal, that's okay. You can use my PayPal link and pay by credit card. I want to get a one flat shipping rate, so I'm going to visit the post office and see what the small box is for the shipping rate, and we'll just add that in. No sales tax, and you'll be able to purchase the items, and I will get them out right away. They are going to be available. Barb says, use padded envelopes. They're cheaper. I will. Whatever's the cheapest, safest form of shipping, that is what I will use. It will definitely make it there safely, being that their clothing, it's just a t-shirt, a hat, or a polo. Thank you, everybody. I know you're going to be supporting me via purchasing that because so many of you have requested it and asked, and I can't wait to be able to get them into your hands. I have a couple technical problems that I'm working out for clients that have come about that I'm trying to solve. One of them, and I haven't even started investigating yet, a client has Outlook 2007 Windows 7 32-bit connected to an Exchange server that is Exchange Small Business Server 2003, and his Outlook client keeps crashing and closing. So there might be a problem with the PST local file, but I think he's living off the server. So I got to come up with a repair for that. That's one. Two, a client, actually two people in the same organization, it's Exchange Server 2008. So it's Small Business Server 2008. Their Outlook, when they set their out of office and they don't use Outlook web access, they only use Office 2007. So it's the Outlook 2007 client. They turned off out of office, but the out of office message is still going to people. They even changed the out of office message and the original message is still going out to people. What's happening there? I don't know. That is two problems with Outlook, both related to Outlook 2007 that I'm working on. And if you have any suggestions, please email me, miketechshow@gmail.com, because starting Monday, I'm going to have to really address them, and over the weekend. So I'm going to start working on that remotely tomorrow and see if I can fix it. I have another problem for a client. The client is moving, well, has moved from a Windows XP desktop to a brand new MacBook Pro. So I converted everything. She's now using Office 2011 for the Mac. That's the first time that Microsoft has provided Outlook in a Mac client. It used to be Entourage. They've now replaced Entourage with Outlook. Everything, the PST, everything moved perfectly. But because she has a Palm, I'm not sure what version Palm, but a phone, but she has a Palm phone. She uses the standard Palm software for hot syncing. She cannot sync the Palm phone to Outlook 2011 for the Mac. She can sync to the Palm desktop. How can she sync the Palm phone that she has, which is a fairly new phone, to the Outlook 2011 client? I have been searching for this, and I found some responses that it can't be done. I found responses that it can be done, but there's no link to how. How's it being done? So if you have a solution, she needs this solutions for at least 4 to 5 months. And then she'll be able to move on possibly to another device that she's thinking about. But right now, we're stuck for about 4 or 5 months that she absolutely has to use this phone. She has no choice, and she has to use Outlook. So how can we get the data transferring successfully from the Outlook client to the Palm? That's something else I'm going to be researching. And if you have any suggestions, I would absolutely consider anything. Thank you. I have some great tips for Gmail, and one that I got from my client tonight. Actually, not tonight, but this week. How to re-download recent Gmail messages. This is interesting. Gmail Pop can only download once, but can be used by the recent command to get the last 30 days email for all other Pop clients. I was converting the Outlook settings from my client on the PC and resetting them up on the Mac client. And I noticed in her Pop username, she had the word recent, colon, and then her username. And I have never seen that before. And that got me thinking, well, what is that? She says, well, that's to only download the last 30 days. So how many times have you moved a client to a different email client, and then all of their emails started coming down from Gmail or Google Apps, which is Gmail at the back end? If you put the word, the command, recent, R-E-C-E-N-T, a colon, and then the username, you will only get the last 30 days of email. That is a very cool command. When I seen that and learned that this week, made me think of, well, what other Gmail tips are things that I like, things that I found that you may or may not know. Here's one. How many of you are guilty of sending an attachment in an email, but you send the email, but forgot to attach the document that you were attaching? There's a feature, and I don't have it in my notes here, but I'm going to have it, and I'm going to add it as a PDF for a download, all these Gmail tips, because I have it written out in Word, and I'm going to save it as a PDF. How would you like to have a feature that when you go to send the message, if you don't, if it will look for the word attach, and if attach is not in, if you don't have an attachment, but you've used the word attach or attachment in your body of the message, it won't send. It'll reprompt you. Did you forget to attach a document? How to attach an executable? This happens to me all the time. I want to send a utility to a friend or to a listener, and Gmail bounces it back because you forget you can't send an executable. So what you can do is to attach an executable file like a normal file. Gmail will display the error message, file is an executable file. For security reasons, Gmail does not allow you to send this type of file. To overcome this issue, do the following as the sender of the email. Rename the file without the .exe extension. Compress it with any compression utility, and of course we recommend 7-Zip here on the Mike Tech Show, and then attach it. Now it will get attached and uploaded successfully, and the receiver of the email should uncompress the attachment and then rename it with the extension. So you could put in the body of the message, unarchive this message, and then rename it with blah, 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 whatever you need to rename the extension to. And now you'll be able to send any attachment. How about a digital signature? I had to help my son with this, who now has an email address at my MHS Consulting, my consulting company, and he's Mike Jr. at MHSconsulting.net, and he predominantly uses the web-based Gmail, and he didn't have a signature. So I helped him set up a signature to brand that email address is only going to be used for our business, so you need to brand it with the website, your phone number, your address. You're going to see more responses from me in email that will have signatures, where in Outlook you can have multiple signatures. I now have a personal one. I now have a Mike Tech Show one, which also adds the Twitter and the Facebook and the website URL. And then I also have my business one for MHSconsulting.net. I have a lot of email addresses, so I have to have a lot of signatures. But go to the settings and click the radio button next to the edit box in the signature section. Next, enter any text you want to have included in all outgoing messages. It makes things simpler and more professional. I have a couple more tips, and then we'll get to some email and wrap up. Managing multiple Gmail accounts. You could be having multiple Gmail accounts for various reasons, but it becomes tedious while checking mail that you would want to log out and log in to each account and check mails in different accounts. And now you can have multiple accounts open. It does allow you to have multiple Gmail accounts open, which is nice, but still you got to go mail client to mail client, you know, tab to tab. Sending emails as another Gmail account. Follow the steps below to send emails from other accounts, i.e. if you are x@gmail.com, you can send emails as y@gmail.com. Log in as x@gmail.com. Go to Settings Accounts tab and Send Email As section. Add y@gmail.com account here and confirm that this is your email by following the instructions. Now you can start sending emails as y@gmail.com, but you're sending it from x@gmail.com. I'm going to add another tip to this. Since you have all this unlimited space at Gmail, I take all of my accounts and I created an archive email account. Every one of my accounts, mike@miketechshow.com, miketechshow@gmail.com, my personal gmail.com, and my mike@mhsconsulting.net. Every single one of those accounts, I have an additional email be sent to a Gmail account that's an archive account. Now, I have an archive of every single email that I send or that comes in. Every inbound email, and we'll let that thing just grow and mushroom into sucking up all the size that Gmail allows me to have. So I have an archive of everything coming in. I think that's a great idea, and you should consider that for an archive, and, you know, hopefully you'll never have to use it. You check in once in a while just so it doesn't expire for the account, and make sure that it's working so you can see all the emails come in. Send a test email. Make sure it enters into the inbox of the archive account. If your name's Rick, it could be like rickarchives@gmail.com. Make it simple and easy, and then make sure you are forwarding secondary email to all everything coming in, everything going out. If you ever have to find something, that's the place you go and start searching for it. That has saved me once when I quickly had to find a photograph that was attached to an email message and I couldn't find it. And this was a while back. I was able to go to that account, search, and I was able to find the photograph that was attached to the email message. Now, to wrap up the Gmail tips, how to access Gmail more securely. Now, I've mentioned this, but I've never went into the details. You want to access your email via HTTPS, S standing for secure, because you may be at an open Wi-Fi connection at a Starbucks or something. You're going to be using an open Wi-Fi, no matter where it is. Use the secure link and do the same for Facebook. But for Gmail, use HTTPS to connect to Gmail. All data sent from and to Gmail in your browser, including your emails, will be encrypted and incomprehensible to anybody, even if they get all of the data on a shared internet connection. You can even make Gmail enforce this security. Follow the settings link in Gmail. Go to the general category. Make sure always use HTTPS is selected under browser connection. Click save changes. Note that HTTPS connections are typically slower than using Gmail unencrypted. Enforcing HTTPS with the setting above may also cause errors on some mobile devices and Gmail mail checkers. Yes, security slows down anything. Anything, if you have a VPN and now you're going through an encrypted tunnel, it will be a little slower. But it's more secure and safer, and therefore highly recommended. I have some email, and this is a tip sent in from Kate, and it's screencast software. And she listened to show 359 where this came up as a topic. The easiest screencast software to use is by far Screencast-O-Matic. I have never heard of that. It's here at screencast-o-matic.com. I tried all the other cool and geeky stuff mentioned in the Meetup podcast, but they were all just annoying. This is really easy and looks really, really good. Go to the page and watch a 1 minute and 39 second demo, then try it. You can get a pro version for $12. Yep, $12. It removes the Screencast-O-Matic logo. I think I paid $5 on some kind of a promo. Here's a link to a couple of screencasts I made with it. Living with Internet Explorer 9, and I'll post that up, and Move Outlook Express Folders. Answer to a specific question about in an email. Still listening to the podcast, but wanted to get that to you before I forgot. Thanks, Mike. Kate, great link, great tip, and I will share that with everybody. It's something I'm always looking for in doing a screencast, but not just for the show. How about a screencast to teach my clients a feature that maybe using Outlook that every client asks me over and over, and wouldn't it be cool to send them to one of my pages on the website that has links to screencast tutorials for certain topics. And I can have my client just go right there, everybody, for that particular tip. I'll tell you one that I got to do. How to set the default paragraph and settings and font in Word and Excel. Those default settings even confuse a lot of people on where to go to make that connection, that little square they forget to click on, and you can set your default font. That's a great screencast that's quick, easy to use, and that's what I want. So this is one software package that I will absolutely be diving into and checking it out because it's something I need. I'm a long-time listener of your show and wanted to tell you first off what a great job you do with the podcast. I apologize for the long email, but I believe it's worth reading. I wanted to write a comment regarding show 357 where you stated you were sick of all the spyware that's going around. I totally feel your pain. And we have tried all the antivirus products we can get our hands on, Symantec, McAfee, Kaspersky, etc., as we deal with it on a daily basis as well. I wanted to let you know there is a product out there that seems to do the trick when it comes to stopping the spyware from being installed. I don't know how long they have had this product, as we just found out about it 5 months ago. But Trend Micro has a managed version of their worry-free business security software. This product gives you more of a managed service provider look and feel. You can create specific Trend Micro hosted accounts for each of your clients, or do like we do and have all of our clients under one master account we have control over, and create groups for each customer. But the three major selling points on this software are: one, it's hosted off-site by Trend. This means that you are in control over any updates, maintenance, etc. This allows you to manage all of your clients from one central location. Two, the price. Since it's a managed service provider product, you as the tech only pay by the month for however many licenses you use. This is great for startups, as you can sell the customer a one-year subscription and you get the benefit of spreading the payments for the software over that time period. Trend has a price on their website, but if you sign up to be a reseller and you use the Tech Data or Ingram Micro, they have pricing below, $1.75 per user per month. The margins are great. You can easily sell the product for $40 per user per month. It has internet content filtering. See the attached PDF. He has a very big PDF that he sent me for all the categories you can block. This works well with laptops, as they are blocked from bad sites even when out of the office. We have installed on about 400 users now and can count on one hand over 5 months of computers that have come back with spyware. We are even backing it up with a guarantee. If you get spyware after we install Trend, we will remove it for no charge. Boy, that's bold to back up. You're putting a lot of faith in that product. Thanks for the time and continue the great work. We have the worry-free business security software from Trend Micro. I do like Trend Micro. I've used them for years in the business sector, in the corporate world, when I managed hundreds of servers, and we used the Trend Server Protect, and I've used it for Exchange Server. I've used the Office Suite. I actually have one client right now that's using it for protection. I haven't heard of this particular product that they're offering, but I think it's worth looking at. And if you're like me and you're reselling your services or you're selling products to a company, this is something to look into that may be worth it. And it's also an opportunity to make money if it does what it says. A very important follow-up to the cyberbullying email that I read a few weeks ago and got a lot of response to. It's nice to hear that there was a positive outcome from this. I want to read the email response. This is where a person who sent me an email, his son's email was hacked. I'm sorry I have not followed up with you until now. Having the police involved in the matter was enough for the hacker to see the error of his ways. The school has locked down their Wi-Fi and server to prevent another occurrence, as he had used a MySQL injection on the school server. The boy apologized to my son and said he was only playing and meant no harm. He was turned over to the school administration for further action. Thank you for the follow-up, and it made me feel good that my suggestion was get the police involved. When something like that is happening to a family member or friend, and the school's not paying attention, or they don't, maybe it's just not on their radar, they're not taking it seriously, call the police. And I've been down this road, but in a different way. Not, it wasn't cyberbullying. But when you get the police, the school pays attention. Because all of a sudden, when you go outside of their comfort zone there, and you go and you call and you bring in the police, I guarantee you, school administration will take it seriously and they will help you. So I'm glad that there was a positive outcome here and that it didn't go any further and it didn't go serious, because he nipped it in the bud as it was happening. And hopefully, you know, they'll continue and there'll be no more problems and no more incidents and no retaliation. We can only hope and pray that there will not be, and that the person who was doing this truly learned their lesson, and we might have saved a life in someone who's now maybe not going to be a criminal, who was maybe headed down that path in what he was doing in cyberbullying another child. And maybe a couple lives have now been impacted here. Please take a moment and visit MikeTechShow.com, and you can't miss it. On the left-hand side, a huge Amazon link that you can click on, you can share. If you have ad-blocking software in your browser, don't worry. Take a look at the last line in the show links of all of my show notes. There's a nice link there to go to Amazon, and anytime you make a purchase, family, friend, share the link, a percentage of that helps support my show and supports it far greater than any sponsor that I could ever have on this show. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for your continued support. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I have some independent music, and the music, I went back to some old GarageBand music, and there's a song called Back Home, and it's by Sid. Give a listen. I like this song.
As I wander these miles, I'm wonder, should I have stayed? I would turn around, I would come right back your way. Just not today. So long, hard roads, coming back home. So long, hard roads, wake me up. Turn around.
Was Sid, and I will find a way to link to them. And I found them a long time ago on GarageBand.com, and that was Back Home. I played that a long time ago, probably in year one of the Mike Tech Show. So with that, thank you so much for supporting the show, for staying subscribed, listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I apologize for a couple things. One, the audio quality of the show I posted, 359, I got a couple of emails and voicemails about that. There was nothing I can do. A long story on the technical details of show 359. And I am making it up by having, I think, better video and better audio that I'll be posting tomorrow night. And I'll be posting the link, and you'll be able to watch it live. And then you'll have a recording on Ustream, hopefully, to be able to refer back to. So that, and then also for my voice tonight, which I know changes things on the quality of the show by me just not having the voice. I'm doing, trust me, everything humanly possible to get back on my feet to get the voice back. So thank you, and good night. I will be back same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.